from your passion or pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you. You can sit for a minute.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8 read, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for our God is our refuge." Let's just open in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we find rest in you alone. We thank you that our hope comes from above. You are our rock and you are our salvation. You are the refuge that we can run to in times of trouble. Father, we want to learn how to trust in you with everything that we have, everything that we are. Thank you for being patient with us as we tend not to, as we fail, as we forget about you throughout the week. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who forgives, that you are the God who sustains. Thank you that you are here with us, and I pray that you would be pleased with our worship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's service is, we're going to have one of our up-and-coming talents of the congregation. Daniel Schrader is going to be sharing with us. And this is his first time outside of Bible school to preach in a church, so we look forward to what you have to share, Daniel. If you look in your bulletins, we have a few announcements. I'll highlight a few that are in there and a few that aren't. We are once again looking for an administrative assistant. If you are looking for a part-time job, one that ranges from 12 to 20 hours, one that involves coordinating, communication, administrative stuff, then this is the position for you, and we would love to have an application and hear from you. You can talk to Lori Vidal as she is the council chair. And yeah, that'd be great. Or if you know of anyone else who is interested in a position like that. Next week on August 27th, we are having a Plan to Protect training session. Plan to Protect is something our church does that trains leaders who are involved with children and youth. It's just a training where we learn proper boundaries and what to do and what not to do with youth and with children. And it's for our benefit, it's for their protection, and just it's a good thing to do. And we make it mandatory for anyone who is involved with ministry to youth and to children. And so if you do not have your plan to protect training, please talk to me after the service, and we will we'll get you signed up. There's going to be lunch provided. Also, to go along with that, in your mailboxes, if you have children who are in a ministry in this church, there is a parental consent and medical treatment form. So please fill that out and hand it back to us as soon as possible. For announcements that are not in your bulletin, Lee and Elaine have been a part of our church for quite some time now and very involved. They are moving away. They're going out to Ontario. Today's their last Sunday. Elaine must be at home, Lee, right? Yep. Okay, so Elaine couldn't make it, but Lee is here. This is his last Sunday, so please make sure you connect with him and just bless him as they leave. You may have heard there has been a death in our community. Yvonne Esau, Carrie Esau's wife, passed away on Friday, I believe. They are loosely connected to our church. They attended quite a few years ago. The funeral will be this week at the Alliance Church at 2:00. And so, if you know the family, if you want to come and support them, Wednesday at 2:00 at the Alliance. And I'm not too sure about our involvement with the service itself. I will be leading the service, but I'm not too sure if we will be providing lunch or not, whatnot. But I will contact Pauline, and if we are gonna help the family out this way, she will be contacting you. So please, if you can help out with that. We'll take this morning's offering at this time. Oh, Lori has an announcement.
Hi. As Shane just said, we formed a new church council, and the purpose of our church council is just to take some of the day-to-day things of the church off the elders so they don't have to do those things, and I'm the new chair of that council. Just to fill you in, part of our role is communication, so that's kind of why I'm here. Part of what we're going to do is things like budget and finance are what we're going to do. We're going to oversee the education of the church, worship, outreach, maintenance of the church. Some of the events that we'll look after are summer retreat, congregational meetings will be under our thing, like the main annual meeting, semi-annual meeting. We will approve or reject, if people have funding, like say they have an idea they want to do that requires funding, you can come and see our committee, and that's what our role will be, to approve it or to not approve it. On the note of communication, there's a couple things that have changed lately. As you know, Murray Bishop did our janitor work for many years, and he stepped down in spring. Shane and his youth kids have been filling in, and we very much appreciate what he's done during that time. We asked for applications, like made it a little more official, and asked for applications. We had 4 really good ones, and we decided to hire Derek and Heidi Losett. So they're our official new janitors starting in September. Also, the other thing, you've probably heard some talk from here about, we have an issue with the Sunday school room and the one that we use in the back here, that it's just small, and that's the one that accommodates, like for example, Max with his wheelchair. So an idea that was floating around was to build a Sunday school room out in the, whatever that area is called, you know, that area. And anyway, after much, we did a bunch of research on it, and all of a sudden at our meeting, the idea came, why don't we just renovate that room? So what we're going to do is pull out the bathroom and the wall in there. We feel we have enough of those facilities in the church. The cost should be nominal. We can do the work within house, so that's kind of one of the decisions our committee made. So just those two things are happening. Also, right now, we really need someone in the church who will take on a financial responsibility, and what that is, Kristen Newdorf has been doing that role. We would like somebody to take on that job. They are basically a financial overseer. They don't necessarily have to do all of the legwork all the time, but I'm putting out a challenge right now to any of you in the congregation who are financially minded. If it's something that God's been sitting on your shoulder and saying, you know what, I think you can do this role, please come and talk to me. The other people in my committee right now are Leanne, Krista, and Darlene will be there. We're kind of the beginning of this committee. We're, you know, going to be adding people as we go. So give us a little grace. It's going to be a little bit of floundering the first while. But you can talk to any of us if that financial side interests you. We desperately need somebody who will take that on in our congregation. And also to help with the admin in the, to help. Darlene works there right now, but we need somebody to help with more hours. So please come and talk to us.
Thank you, Lori. I'll ask the ushers to come forward and we'll take this morning's offering. If you are a visitor here or new to the church, please do not feel any obligation to give. This is for attendees, members, those who are invested here, who care for the ministries. So if you're new, please do not feel that obligation. Please join with me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for another day of life that you've given us, another Sunday where we can come together and worship you. We know you are the God who is worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives. And then any sacrifice that we can give to you is minor compared to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. We thank you that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, and we acknowledge that with gratefulness this morning. Lord Jesus, you are the one that said that we can't serve two masters, that we'll either hate one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other and despise the other. You're the one that told us that we cannot serve both you and money. And so, Father, I pray that our lives would reflect your generosity. I pray that we would be rich toward you with all of our lives, including finances. Father, as a church, I pray that we would be using your money wisely. Father, I pray that it would be investing into kingdom purposes and nothing else. Father, we thank you again for your hand of blessing in our lives. Father, we also want to lift up those who are hurting and those who are sick within our congregation and in our community. Father, when we want to lift up Penny, Regeer, and the family, Father, I thank you that you are with her and with them. I thank you that you are the God who is all-powerful, that you are the God who created everything. You are the beginning and the end, and yet you are so intimate. I thank you that you are the God of comfort for her right now. Father, I pray, pray your special blessing on her and on her family this morning. We also lift up the Esaus who have lost a wife, a mother, a grandmother. Father, we pray that you would be helping them mourn well. And in the midst of their mourning, Father, I pray that you would reveal your gentleness and your goodness to them. Thank you that we can come alongside and also reflect who you are. Not only to the Esau family, but to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers. Thank you, Lord, for using us here in Meadow Lake. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the offering plate passes, you maybe just stand and sing with us. We're going to sing this, I Believe in Jesus. It's a very old song, but it might seem new to some of you because it's been a long time since we probably sang this song.
Here with the power to heal.
now.
You with the power to heal
and the grace to forgive.
It's our goal this morning as we lead you in these songs to take you to a place where you're prepared for what God might have to say to you through Daniel this morning. So we're going to sing four more songs. They're all really, really just kind of fundamentally sound songs of faith, and I think that's kind of where Daniel's going this morning. So we'll sing a couple songs, then I'm going to have you sit for the last two and just contemplate as you prepare for what God has to say to you through Daniel.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid
and I think
I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto to my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide, only hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
For thou hast
to sit as we move into it as well with my soul, feel free to do that. If you want to stay standing, that's fine. You all sit there.
everyone. Ooh, there it is. Good morning. Well, I have been given the privilege of speaking before you guys today. I wish it was also a pleasure, but to be honest, it's been quite stressful. But I hope that the words that I have for you today will encourage you, and that you will have, at the end of today, more reasons for your hope. That is the title of my sermon today, and it was an idea that has been in my mind since Pastor Dean first spoke to me about preaching before you guys. And 3 weeks ago, Rod Enns talked to you about reasons or excuses we have. About reasons or excuses that we have for not sharing our faith. And I would like to give you guys reasons that we should. And this can go really all over the place. So I would like to, as we live really in a North American culture and so focused in on science, I'd like to speak to you about many of the arguments that I have been challenged with throughout my years of Bible school and the like, and the questions that I've been given and the answers I have found for the reasons for my hope. And my passage is from 1 Peter 3, 13 to 17, and I will read it for you now. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you should be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who have reviled your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is God's will, than for doing evil. And I know, for me, when I sat in those pews before ever going to Bible school, if someone were to ask me to give a defense to anyone who asked for the reason for my hope, my defense would be very limited. I knew that Jesus died for my sins, that he rose again, and that was the reason. But I would like to share with you some of the other great reasons for our hope. Now, I'd like to take you guys back all the way to the beginning. And I know that there are two sides to sand on this fence. There is the old earth and there is the young earth. And I do not know where you stand. And to be honest, there are good reasons for both. But I would just like to share with you that although there are good reasons for both, the Bible can be taken at its word, no matter what. And there is strong evidence for that. Now, this is an odd topic, and it is a hard topic to work into my sermon, but hear me out. Many of the times when I would talk to non-believers, they would ask me, yes, but how do the billions of years fit into it? We know the earth is billions of years old, the rocks tell us, and we can measure the date of the rocks. Well, the two most popular forms of measuring the date of rocks is the carbon-14 dating and the radioisotope dating. Both of these, although useful to a point, are quite limited. They rely on a few variables. Actually, quite a few, really. But I won't go into all of them. They rely on a rate of decay being constant, and that as the rate of decay began, that they were at the exact same point. So if you think about it, I'll give you an image of an apple, and you have your apple, you leave it out on the counter, and you watch and see as that apple begins to shrivel up and shrivel up and shrivel up and shrivel up. That is basically this form of dating. But the thing is that the conditions in which you leave that apple can change, whether it's on the counter or in the refrigerator. That is the trick of this whole thing. So although it does, in essence, give evidence for an old earth, there is also reason to doubt it. And I will be honest with you, I do believe in a young earth. That has influenced my thinking. But there are many other ways of dating the world that do not fit with a billions of years. One of them is the increasing saltiness of the ocean. The ocean every year gets saltier and saltier, something most people don't know. And the ocean at this point, with its saltiness, for as long as we've been measuring it, trying to get some sort of constant, the best we can guess is 12,000 years. Now, that is if it started at a point of no salt up until its saltiness now. This also suffers from the same thing. We do not know if the rate has changed or not. But it does give evidence for a young Earth as well. And I would just like to promote in your lives to find out where you land here and find your evidence for it. These are the reasons for our hope. And I do believe every bit of me that the Bible should be trusted. And this comes to my second point, one of the other great things I've been challenged with while at Bible school. What about the inconsistencies in the Bible? Now, there have been many different questions I've been asked here, and I looked online, and there are apparently, although I did not know this, there are apparently, by most secular standards, 143 different inconsistencies in the Bible. Now, apparent, I'd have to put in quotations, because as you look into them, these are very easily explained most often. One of the first ones, and I'm sure many have heard, is the genealogy of Jesus, how both Matthew and Luke record it differently. There have been many different ways of explaining this. Some people say that one was recording the genealogy of Mary while the other one was recording the genealogy of his father Joseph. But that is an accepted answer, but another very strongly accepted answer to as this inconsistency is the number play that Matthew makes in his. And I will quickly flip there just to show you. It's just one small little verse that he is kind of making his point around. All the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the departure to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the departure to Babylon to Jesus Christ, 14 generations. Matthew, in his thing and in his number play, has actually left out a number of generations. This is due to the line of succession of kings and different things. And also he has omitted some, and that is to make a point. This point was because he was writing to the Hebrew nation when he wrote his book. He knew that they knew the exact genealogy, but he wanted to point out the perfectness of God's timing from Abraham to David to Babylon to Jesus. While Luke, on the other hand, is quite accepted to be an exact genealogy all the way from David to Joseph. Another question that has often come to me is one that comes about Jesus' crucifixion. In Mark 15:25, it is said that Jesus was crucified at the third hour, while in John 19, it says he was crucified in the sixth hour. Two very different times. Another answer here is that it was simply the time from his being condemned by Pilate to his actual execution. The reason why I am sharing these with you, although you may find them dull, I hope you don't, I enjoy them, is reasons for our hope. There are so many things that although the world tries to say we do not have reason, there is reason for our hope. But the strongest and most come to attack I have ever found in my faith in talking to non-believers is this one question. If God is good and all-powerful, then why do bad things happen in the world? God, why can't God stop it? They are challenging either his goodness or his power or both. And this is a tough question to answer. It is indeed quite difficult. But to give an answer to you, I'd like to share this. God has given us a free will. We can choose to do both good and evil. So if God wants to stop evil, he can, but how much should he stop? Do we want him to only stop the natural disasters? To stop disease? Or do we want him to stop all evil, including evil actions and evil thoughts? How much, then, do we wish to give to God? Do we wish to give our entire free will to him? Many people who ask this question do not realize its full implications. God has given us this free will, and we have chosen to do evil. This is not the way God made it. And to be honest, the greatest thing he has done is the fact that he has given us a chance to be redeemed. And he will, in the end, put all things to right. These are reasons for our hope, which is what is talked about here in 1 Peter. But 1 Peter also goes on and talks about one other thing, which is in those verses. He talks about suffering for righteousness and to live a godly example. I would like to challenge many of you to live out this sort of thing. I don't know how to describe it, but it is the Christian life. That we are to do good and even to suffer for Christ. And let our godly behavior be our example. Let that example of how we live and what we do be the thing that drives people to see that there is a difference, not only in what we believe, but also in the way we live. That is another reason for hope, the change that God brings into our lives. And in my challenge to all of us, including myself, I am as bad at not sharing my face as the next person. I have trouble doing it. I try to push myself to do it, but it does not come easily. But I'd like to say that in these verses, like verse 17, for it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will than for doing evil. Therefore, as you share your faith, do not go on the attack. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to take the hard questions and give an answer. Find an answer. This is something one of my teachers at school always told us as we took our apologetics class, a class that taught us how to share our faith. He said, never be ashamed to say to a person, feel free to ask me any question you want, but know that it'll take me 2 days to bring you an answer. Most people will find that all right. Let them have a chance. There are answers out there, and believe it or not, the internet is the most amazing thing in the world. And oh, that's why I brought that water. And I'd like to challenge you in the same way my teachers have challenged me at Bible school. To look for people who want to ask questions and to let them ask you questions. And give them those reasons for your hope. And be honest with them about the times when you don't have an answer. There are some things that there are not answers for, and that's not always bad. There are some things that in our finite minds are small things in this world that we just cannot fathom what is out there. And here I also come to my my shameless little plug for Bible school. I have enjoyed 3 years at Miller College of the Bible for the past 3 years. I graduated just in fall. And I would challenge those of you who are in school, those of you who aren't long out, even older people. I was actually just there with a student. He was a married student, but he was, I'm trying to remember his name, his age exactly, but I believe he was 64 years old. He was not on the young side of life. But there is never, it is never too late to get answers and to learn about the hope that we have. And there is so much to learn about this book. I can say honestly that in 3 years of Bible school, I have, although learned a lot, I have learned also how much I do not know. And I feel like if I were to take more schooling, I would learn even more just how much I do not know. And I would also encourage parents to encourage your kids to go to Bible school. Years are never wasted there, and there are many different ways of going there. You can do 3 years like I did. You can do 1 year at a Cape and Ray or other schools. But it is just a solid way to get a foundation. Now on to talking about the final bit of suffering, as they spoke of here in these passages. They said, I'll just read it. I shouldn't try to come up with it from my head. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. It is hard to take sometimes that we should suffer. It comes back even to that great question, is God good if we are suffering? And I'd just like to say that in my life, although I have not lived long, there have been times of trouble and times of blessing, to be sure. And I find that in the times of trouble is when the growth most happens. God causes us trouble to grow us. It was not his plan from the beginning. His plan was a perfect world. But there are ways that he brings goodness out of things that are done wrong. As Joseph said to his brothers, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good." So, in closing, I'd like to deliver the challenge to each and every one of you to find reasons for the hope that you have and always be ready, whether it is right away or, like I said, say, give me 2 days, but be ready to give that answer for the hope that you have.
Stand with us. Daniel texted me yesterday and said, in closing today, could we sing This Little Light of Mine? So that's what we're going to do.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen. Thank you for leading us in song, and thank you, Daniel, for the reminder to think about our faith, to be thoughtful Christians, and thank you for reminding those who are old and those who are as young as 64. Now for the benediction from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. And if you would like to have prayer, we'll have, I think Judy's going to be up front. So please, if you want prayer, come.